All right, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says this. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, and we're sure thankful for a Savior who's risen. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a book that we can come and gather around and hear from. And so, Father, we pray that tonight that's what would happen, Lord, is that we would hear from you. And Lord, if we do hear from you tonight, I know and these people will know that it's not from me, but it's from you, Father. And we pray that you would get all the honor and glory out of it tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there's not really much by way of introduction here. I'd like to focus on verse 2 and 3. It says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." And so I'd like to pay attention to the end of that verse, and it says, "which ministered unto him of their substance." And so I'd like to talk about that for just a little while tonight. I don't think it'll be too long. Really, just first of all, I'd like to jump into it. And first thing I'd like to talk about is the reason for it. And the reason for which they ministered unto him of their substance. Now, I don't know if you're too familiar with Mary, but it says at the end of the verse, at the end of verse 2, it says, "out of whom went 7 devils." And it gives some details of the others. It doesn't give us specific details, but it says certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and then Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Now, we don't really know what her life was like before this. There is no record of what her life was like before. We know that she had 7 devils. Now, it's hard to imagine what a life would be like being run by a devil. It's hard for us to imagine that. It's harder for us to imagine what Mary's life was like because we don't have any account of it. But there are some things that we can see from people that did have devils. And so I'd just like to turn to a few of those tonight. But if you will, go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. And really, just the first thing to point out, just to kind of show the reason why these women and more importantly, why Mary ministered unto the Lord of her substance was, first of all, look at this. It says in Mark chapter 1, look at verse 26. Actually, let's look at verse 21. It says, "And they went unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man which had an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him." And you know, I just first like to point out, you read these guys and you look at all of the accounts where Jesus had to cast out a devil, and you know what you see out of all of them? You see unstableness. And you imagine a life of being completely unstable. Not like how we're unstable, but I mean like you can't control what's going to come out of your mouth. It says in verse 23, "And there was in the synagogue a man of an unclean spirit, and he cried out." The spirit. It doesn't say that the man, who is in full control of his faculties, decided to get up and, "Hey, who are you? We know who you are." No. I mean, imagine the unstableness. Imagine how embarrassing it would be to all of a sudden be like, "Hey, who are you? Hey, Jesus, get out of here. We know who you are. And I didn't mean to do that." Right? That's pretty embarrassing. I mean, the life of embarrassment, the life of lack of stability, the shame. the shame that it would cause and the shame that it would bring forth. Go to Mark chapter 5. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not." What a shameful life. What a shame. It was a man with a reputation around town, and nobody went to that area. Nobody let their kids out when that guy was around. And it's a really weird sound. You guys ever hear like coyotes at night or wolves or something? And it's just quiet, and all of a sudden you hear him, and it's a little spooky. Imagine if it was a man howling and screaming, cutting himself. That's pretty shameful. It's embarrassing. Look at verse 4 and 5. "Because when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Imagine the spectacle that this man made of himself. Not that he made of himself, excuse me, that the devil made of him. And, it just goes, it's interesting, because you read through the Bible and you can see where God is hard in the righteous way. But man, then you look at the devil, and there is absolutely no mercy. He doesn't care about anybody. And he takes this man and he binds him. And there was a man who had a child, and he told Jesus, he said, "Will you heal him? Because this spirit will tear at him and throw him in the fire." Just talk about instability. And so I can't say for sure that this is what Mary lived with, but it's fairly probable that this is what her life looked like before Jesus Christ. The torture. You sit there and you cut yourself, and you howl and you wail. So I don't know. Maybe this wasn't Mary's life, but it most likely was. And so the reason. Why is she ministering unto him of her substance? Well, I don't know if you would understand this or not, but Mary was delivered from the power of darkness. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you. Maybe you don't understand that, but this was the first time that she had any light. And so with that being said, what did she do? She just ministered unto him of her substance. Whatever she had, she just used it to minister to him. She had light. The first time that she had peace. The first time that she actually had control of herself. There was no more shame. She walked down the street, and you know what? People didn't see this woman who was just all mangled and the hair was all ratted, and nobody trusted her. Now what is she? She's a different woman. And it was as if she went from darkness to light. It was as if something had changed her. So that's the reason. That's the reason why she ministered unto him of her substance. Now, if you will, just flip back to Luke chapter 8. And I'd like to look at something else here. In Luke chapter 8, I would like to look at verse 3, and it says, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Now, I'd like to, second of all, notice or draw out the ownership of it. It says it was of their substance. It was theirs. This is what they had. It's what they used. Therefore, that's what they had. They had this, and so they wanted to use this for the ministering unto the Lord. And you know what the Lord didn't do? The Lord didn't require them to go and get something that they didn't have. They just used what they had. Something else, it doesn't say how they ministered. It doesn't even say what they did. It just says that they ministered. This part is speculation, but it's speculation, but I bet you it wasn't all that unusual. I mean, I don't really think that what Mary did and what these women did was just like this crazy thing. It was just, they just had some substance, so they used it and they just ministered to the Lord. So, again, speculation, but probably wasn't unusual. But you know what? It was important for enough the Lord to write it down. It was important enough for the Lord to say, hey, I take note of that. I'm going to write that down in a book, and millions and billions of people are going to read about this woman and what these women did. Also something else, just an observation of it. The substance goes unnamed. You don't ever know what it is that they ministered unto the Lord. It's just said that it was substance. It was just what they had. And really, I mean, if you think about it, it probably really wasn't all that much, right? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Conor McGregor goes and buys a $40 million Lamborghini yacht, and so this is what I'm going to use to No, probably wasn't that. It's probably something real small. I mean, remember, she had seven devils, so it's most likely that, I mean, if we look at all the other demon-possessed people in the Bible, she probably didn't have a great job, right? She wasn't probably trusted with her employers. She probably didn't have anything. But just whatever she had, whatever these women had, they just used it. They just ministered. That's all they did. And, you know, I don't really think the substance even matters all that much anyways, though. Remember that widow gave two mites? And yet the Bible says that she gave of all the living that she had, that's what she gave, just two mites. There was a man who was called to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness. And he was on the backside of the desert, and he was walking around, and he saw a bush, and there was something, well, not really unusual about the bush at first, because it's a bush burning. We're in the desert. That's going to happen. And then he's walking around, and he comes back to it maybe, and he says, you know what? He goes, I'm going to turn inside and see this great sight where with this bush is burned, yet it's not consumed. And he goes up to that bush, and the Lord says, you take your shoes off because this is holy ground. And he starts talking to the Lord, and the Lord talks to him and says, hey, listen, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness. If you will, turn to Exodus chapter 4. And so he's talking with the Lord, and the Lord is, look, he's giving him all these details, and he says, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And listen, these my children, he goes, I've been hearing them cry for so long, and finally, you're going to lead them out of the wilderness, okay? I'm going to have you lead them into the wilderness. You're going to get them out of Egypt. And, you know, Moses is like, okay, Lord, that's great. I mean, he's sitting there walking around the wilderness. He's like, yeah, I'll do it, you know? And he's sitting there kind of trudging through the sand, and he's just like, yeah, I mean, that's great. He's like, but you do know that, like, my people, they're not going to listen to me. You do, like, you know everything, but you do realize that, right? It's not going to work. And he's trudging through the sand. He's trudging through the sand. And then look what it says in verse 4 in Moses, excuse me, in chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Remember, Lord, I was the guy that murdered the Egyptians. Remember that? Do you remember my past? And he's walking, and he's walking, and he's mid-stride, and the Lord says, verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he looks, and he goes, it's just a stick. That's what I'll use. I'll use that. It doesn't have to be something big. And that was not just any rod. Because look at verse 20. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. It was no longer just a stick. It was something that the Lord was going to use. It was just something small, but he was going to be able to bring a nation to its knees with a stick. With a stick. That's all it took for the Lord. That's all it took for, excuse me, that's all it took for the Lord. You had a giant, and he was, or as we learned the other night, he's never called a giant. But he's walking in this valley, and he's letting out all kinds of blasphemies against the God of Israel. And this, I don't want to say he's a little boy, because he wasn't at that point. But this kid hears it, and he's like, what in the world? And eventually he decides that he's going to go out there, and I don't know, maybe he's questioning himself, but he can't take Saul's armor. It's not his, right? They ministered of their substance. It was theirs. It's what they had. That wasn't his. And so the Lord, David is, Lord, I mean, I'll go. I don't have a problem going out there. I mean, yeah, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. I mean, even if this guy kills me, I mean, I'll go out there just to defend you. But I don't know what I'm going to use, Lord. And the Lord says, what's in that hand? The hand of your, can you reach down in that bag? And, oh, it's just a sling. Okay, that's what I'll use. I will use that. See, the Lord doesn't need anything big. He doesn't need anything big. And what does the Lord do with that sling? He brings the Philistine army to its knees. They run. So, she may not have had much substance, but whatever it was, she used it to minister. And you may not have much. I may not have much. We really don't have all that much to offer the Lord. But what do? They just say, we don't have much to give, but we give it all to the Lord. They just ministered. Samuel. He is a child. He literally is a little kid. What does he have to offer to the Lord? What honestly does he have to offer to Eli? And you know what the Bible says? It says that he ministered unto the Lord. He ministered before Samuel, before Eli unto the Lord. I don't know what he could have had, but whatever it was, he used it. There's a guy in the UFC right now. His name is Beneil Dariush. And he's from Persia. His ancestry is Persian, but he's an American Persian. And he's had multiple fights now, and he's doing real good. And it's funny because you know what that guy did? He just used what he had. And, you know, he probably said some other things in there that were just like, doesn't really matter. But you know what that guy got on live international TV. I believe the fight happened in, was it Abu Dhabi? And you know what that guy did? He got up, he won the fight, he had the commentator came up to him and was asking him, you know, about the fight. But he goes, I gotta stop you for a second. He goes, I just wanna give a shout out to my people in Persia, you know, keep fighting, blah, blah, blah. But I wanna say this. If you ever want peace, you need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can give you peace that you will peace and liberty from your sins that you will never get anywhere else. Live international TV. He was probably saying that in an Arab country. All he did was he used what he had. And it may, you know, I mean, hey, he's excited. He just won this fight, you know, but hey, he used it. At least he said something. At least he said something. If you will, go to Proverbs chapter 12. While you guys are going to Proverbs 12, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. You need to honor the Lord with thy substance. And in chapter 12, verse 27, it also says this. It says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And you know, I think that maybe the Lord, I think that it meant a lot to the Lord just because that's what was precious to him. That was all the substance that they had in the world. That was all that they owned, and yet they just used it and they just ministered to the Lord with it. And I, you know, this is, I don't know, just a thought. I wonder if that ministering grows into something else. And what I mean by that is, if you will, just go to Song of Solomon chapter 8. Song of Solomon 8. I don't know, this is just a thought. I read this and it kind of seems almost like a confusing verse, and yet at the same time it's a really deep verse. I really like it. But I wonder if the ministering grows into something more than just ministering. I wonder if something more comes from that. Look at verse 5, 8:5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. And God saying this to Israel, Christ saying it to the church, he says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. And just a thought here, but I wonder if that ministering slowly, ministering of the substance slowly turns into a love that soon will belittle your substance. And that king says, listen, love is as strong as death and jealousy as cruel as a grave. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. I wonder if it just grows and that ministering, it turns into a love that you have for Jesus Christ, and you minister and you minister and you have a love for him so much, pretty soon, all of your substance, it doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare to that the love that you have for Jesus Christ. It's worth trying to attain to. I'm not saying that I have, or that maybe nobody else here has, but it sure is worth trying for. It sure is worth shooting for. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is the ownership of it. It was their substance. It was their substance. The Lord used what was in David's little bag there. He used a sling. He used what was in Moses' hand. And look what it says in Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth, right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! You know, we have this substance. We have these bodies, and you know what? As flawed as we are, he still receives it. He still receives our ministering unto him. It says in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. David says, look, Lord, you know what I am, and yet you still receive it. I'd like to move on to the next thing here. Two more points should be done here pretty soon. If you will, I'd like to look at the devotion of it. And for this, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. So you had the reason for it. You had something else for it. You had the ownership of it. And now if we can, I'd like to look at the devotion of it. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 55. Actually, look at verse 51. It says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went in unto the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding him afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children." You know, I just like to point out Mary's devotion to the Lord. The other women too, but more importantly, Mary's. She was so devoted after what Jesus Christ did for her that she followed him all the way to his death. This is kind of hard to imagine for us because this is not really, we don't have these situations arise, but I wonder how many of you spouses would, knowing that your other spouse is going to die, like to go there and watch them die. Who would do that? And I know that Jesus Christ was not Mary's spouse by any means, but that was the thing that meant the most to her. And yet, she went and she watched him as he was filleted alive. She watched and she said, "That's the man I ministered unto. That's the man that gave me freedom. That's the man that gave me light." And she was devoted to him. She was devoted to him. And listen, although the world will never know what her life was like, and we'll never be able to read the count of that day, the peace, the deliverance he bought her, she was devoted to the end. That's what she was. She went with Jesus Christ all the way to his death. And if you will, go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 47. And Mary Magdalene, verse 47, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. She watched him as he died. She watched him as Joseph of Arimathea took that body off of that cross. And she walked and she followed as Jesus Christ went to his grave. And you know what? This man gave her freedom, so she followed him to the death. She followed him to his grave. And her devotion never died. Her devotion never died. She wasn't going to let anything get in the way of her being able to minister. And you know what? In fact, it turns out that she was going to go the next day, and she was going to go, and she was going to anoint his body. She was going to yet minister unto his body when he was dead. And you know what? She didn't let anything get in the way of it. There wasn't a family member that got in her way. It's out of the respect for the body, and I understand. You know, we go to a funeral, and you don't go up to the body and you'll touch it, and you don't, out of respect, you don't do that, right? But this, it meant so much more to her. I mean, this was the man that freed her. Seven devils? I mean, not one devil, but seven devils. And that was her devotion. And just lastly, get you guys out a little bit early, it looks like, but if you will, go to John chapter 20. Go to John chapter 20. Now I'd like to talk about the reward of it. And sometimes it is, it's easy to go through life and just kind of put your head down and just do what you're supposed to do. And not in a bad way, but, you go to church. You go and do things that the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes you'll stop and it'll be like, man, it doesn't really seem like, not that this is what it's about, but I'm not really getting anything from this. And sometimes it is hard because it doesn't really seem like there's much of a reward. And sometimes it feels like you actually get more trouble than anything. But John chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And I actually should back up a little bit. I mean, if you look at verse 1, it says, and the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So she runs and tells the disciples, and she says, hey, somebody's taken the body, and I don't know what's going on. And so she goes and gets Peter and John, and they run in there, and they go in, and look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And see, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? For she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. I mean, it bothered her that much. That's my Lord. They took his body. Yeah, but he's dead. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but that was my Lord. That was the one that freed me. That was the one that delivered me from the seven devils that I had. He's the one I've given everything to. And the angel says, what is your deal? And she goes, they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they brought him. In verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back, saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto a woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Again, do you not realize who this man was? Did you not see the crucifixion? That's my Lord. What are you talking about? Who is he? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I may not have a great place to bury him, but I'm still going to honor him. I'm still going to go try to find a place. Even if it's just me and his body, I don't know how I'm going to carry it. Okay, will you give me the body? In verse 16, and Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And that was a voice she thought she would never hear. Because he was gone. He was dead. You don't just hear dead people's voices come back. That's not a thing. Right? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. You know, I guess I can't say this as a matter of fact, but you know, just from the look of everything, I wouldn't say that her ministering unto him was a big show. I don't think that it was. And you know what? His reward to her may not have been a big public thing, because she was the first one to have a resurrected Savior come to her. And the ministering, it wasn't much. But this is what I have. So, Lord, I'm just going to try to minister to you with whatever substance this is that I have. And I don't know if she realized what was going to happen in the end. But she was able to see Jesus Christ in that voice, the voice that she got comfort from that voice. And in the darkest time of her life, all of a sudden, she hears that voice again. And it's speaking directly to her. And he says, Mary. That's all. I don't think he had to yell to her. All he said was, Mary. And right away, she recognized it. Right away, she recognized that voice. What a reward. I mean, she gave of herself. And she was happy to do it. She was. I mean, it wasn't like she was going about saying, okay, Lord, now you better reward me somehow. It wasn't like that. She just, I'm just giving it to myself. I'm going to give myself to you. Whatever I can do to help, Lord, I'll be there just to minister to you. And you know what? The Lord comes up and he says, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. You know, I don't know how you are with your ministering. I don't know what you think of it. But listen, there is a reason to minister unto the Lord of your substance. And it may not be much. And it might, honestly, it might just be sitting in a pew. You know, in I think it's 2 Chronicles, you know what it said that the Levites, how one of the ways that they ministered unto the Lord? With their singing. And I know we hear preaching on singing, but it's like, it's something that's just so simple, right? You know, the Bible says, honor him with thy substance. Some of you guys have kids, and you know what? I wonder if you ever sit there and think, you know what? We're at home. I'm just going to turn music on. I'm going to get something in their heads and something that they're eventually going to start to sing. And whether they realize it or not, you know what they're going to start doing? They're going to start ministering unto the Lord with their substance. And it's just, it's something small that we can do. And like David said, he goes, you knew my substance. And yet, you also knew how impure it was. And yet, you still receive it. That was the reward of it. That was the reward of it for Mary. So, the simple thing to say now is, go and minister unto him of your substance. Just find what you can do. I mean, it may just be something simple with your job and you have time and you know you're just in the car and you're praying or you're doing whatever and you're singing, whatever small it is, just minister unto him. That's all you got. Just minister unto him. Just minister. Father, we do thank you for your love toward us, and Lord, we just